Welcome to the Healthy Matters Podcast with Dr. David Hilden, primary care physician and acute care hospitalist at Hennepin Healthcare in downtown Minneapolis, where we cover the latest in health, healthcare, and what matters to you. And now here's your host, Dr. David Hilden.
Hey everybody, it's Dr. David Hilden, your host of the Healthy Matters Podcast. This is episode 23, and we are going to talk all things vaccines. To help me out, I have Dr. Kate Hust. She is the medical director of the Internal Medicine Clinic here at Hennepin Healthcare in downtown Minneapolis and a colleague of mine as an internal medicine physician. Kate, thanks for being on the show with us.
Of course. Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So let's dive right in. COVID-19. I hear there's a vaccine for that. So you're the medical director of a clinic. You've seen quite a bit and been actually instrumental in getting as many, forgive the way I say it, needles in people's arms over the years, especially since a little bug called the coronavirus mutated a few years ago and morphed into COVID-19. The vaccines for COVID-19 are in the news constantly. Give us, if you could, Kate, what is the current state? What is the current vaccine that we're asking people to get?
Yeah, so COVID vaccines have been in the news for the last year and a half. And I know a lot of people are tired of hearing about it, frankly. But it is important to pay attention to now because we have a new one, which I know is hard for some people to imagine. But if you think about it, we had an Atlas. The roads got updated and we need a new map. And so we have the COVID bivalent vaccine that is designed really to protect against Omicron, which is a version of COVID that's been floating around for the last 6 or 8 months.
So that's what this new one is. But okay, doctor, there you go again. You're saying we got another one. We're going to have a new one in 4 months. We're going to have one 4 months after that. We're going to have another one every 6 months. I think vaccine fatigue is probably actually going to be a real thing.
I think that's fair. We're used to, as participants in the healthcare world, getting a certain schedule of vaccines. We think about things like the tetanus shot. You get one every 10 years. You forget about it by the time you have to get another one.
Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit more like a flu shot. You know, we get a different flu vaccine every year because we change it to try to predict what we're going to need to protect us over the given season. Will we have a new one in 4 months? I think it's unlikely. I have not yet found the crystal ball for COVID over the last 2 years. But is it something that's going to be a part of our lives maybe annually going forward? It certainly could be. It's the nature of how viruses work. They just figure out how to do what they want to do, and a vaccine is what we can do to try to prevent them.
So just some real practical information right here at the beginning. This new vaccine protects against what?
So the new vaccine, which we refer to as the bivalent booster, is available both from Pfizer and Moderna, and it prevents against additional strains of COVID compared to what our initial COVID vaccines were. So it really is protecting against Omicron BA4 and BA5.
And who should get that vaccine?
So this vaccine is for everyone ages 12 and older, Pfizer for 12 plus, Moderna for 18 plus, who has gotten their primary series. So individuals have completed their initial vaccines as long as it has been 2 months since their last COVID vaccine. They're good to go. Doesn't matter if you've already had one booster or two boosters, as long as it has not been a bivalent booster and it's been at least 2 months since your last shot, you should get this booster.
What if you've already had COVID? How long should you wait before you get your booster? So your bivalent booster is what I'm saying, yeah.
Right, so that's a great question. So there is not any medical reason why you have to wait a particular time. What happens when you get COVID is that your body produces some of its own antibodies. It has essentially gotten a vaccine just by getting the illness. So you have your own protection that will probably last for up to about 3 months and be quite similar to what the vaccine would do. So you don't have to rush out and get the vaccine. If you feel more comfortable getting that vaccine right away, as long as you have recovered from your COVID and are out of your quarantine period, it's safe for you to get it. But you also have a little space if you wanted to wait up to 3 months.
So what are you seeing in your clinics here in Minneapolis, Kate? And I know people are listening to this from all over the country. But here in our part of the country, what are you seeing? Are people lining up to get the bivalent one? Yet we don't hear about it as much in the news as the other ones. What are you seeing for as far as what people are willing to do?
I would say I've seen the full range. There are certainly individuals who are just not sure what to make of yet another vaccine. Understandably, they're a little bit tired of COVID. Most of them, we have a conversation about what it means. They think about it. It's not something that has to happen immediately. So I encourage them to think about it. Come back, call, make an appointment, do it at your pharmacy when it feels right for you. I have lots of patients who were thrilled that they happened to be in clinic the first day we had them available. I have other patients who missed that window by about a week, and we kept a list of their names so we could call back and say, yep.
They came in a week before it was out, yeah.
Yeah, we've got them now. And so I've seen everything in between. And there are some individuals, like you mentioned, who had COVID this summer and just want to wait a little while, want to wait till it's closer to the holidays, till things are a little bit more settled, and then they'll go ahead and get that vaccine.
So, Kate, have you found this to be true? I am having, in my clinic at least, zero problems getting people to get the bivalent one because, number one, you already had to have received the first primary series. And so people are like, well, of course I'm going to get that. So it seems like a different world than 2 years ago when we were having to educate people about the yes or no, should I get the vaccine? Now, people are sort of divided into their camps already. Either they got the first series, so they're willing to get the bivalent one, or they never got the first series and nothing's going to change their mind. Is that where we are?
I think there are certainly lots of people that fall in those two camps. Kind of the, I didn't want the vaccine before. I've done okay since that time, so I don't know that I want to do this again. There are people who've said, yep, I've gotten that vaccine as soon as I could get it all along. And they will probably forever be the people up the front of the line to say, yep, it's time for that flu shot. It's time for this vaccine. I'm going to get it. I would say I have also seen a group of people who got their primary series, got their initial vaccines, maybe got their booster. They're not opposed to getting a bivalent vaccine, but they're kind of giving a little bit of thought. They maybe want to time it right compared to what events they have coming up so they don't get sore or they're providing the most protection before they spend time with their family at the holidays. So there certainly is a divide and then kind of a spectrum in between. I think having these conversations still with patients, when I have folks come in who have not been vaccinated at all, I still offer to have a conversation. Have you had questions? What have your concerns been? We can't give you the bivalent booster without doing those initial vaccines first, but those initial vaccines are still providing important coverage.
And better late than never. So that leads me into probably the million-dollar question that you hear a lot out in the community. Here I am. I've never gotten COVID, and I also never got the vaccine. You got your vaccines, you got all your boosters, and you got COVID a couple of times. So we all know somebody like that, somebody who got the vaccines and still got COVID, and then there's always somebody out there who's feeling a teeny bit smug who'd never got any of it, didn't get vaccinated and didn't get COVID. What do you say to that?
We all have those. I think that's where we take a step back and think about what is the purpose of vaccines. Really, vaccines are designed for a population. Vaccines are designed to take care of a whole city, a whole country, a whole group. Not specifically to take care of an individual. So there's always going to be one person whose experience is a little bit different, for better or for worse. We also need to remember that vaccines, especially the COVID vaccines, are to prevent serious illness. They're to prevent you from dying from COVID or having to spend weeks in the hospital. They're not designed to prevent the COVID that is 2 days of the sniffles and kind of twiddling your thumbs waiting to go back to work after your quarantine is over. And so I think that's where we kind of get lost, is that there are lots of people who have been vaccinated and have had COVID, but a lot of people who haven't had to go to the hospital, they haven't died because of the COVID and that vaccine relationship. So there will always be people who said, nope, I'm not interested. I didn't get sick. And I tell those patients, great, I'm glad that you have been lucky enough not to be sick, or you have been sick and you've been okay, or that your family members have been that okay. And that's an individual decision. It's my job to give you some information and help you make an informed decision, but I can't tell you what to do.
You said that so well, Kate. That was really well said, because I usually say something snide like, yeah, I haven't been in a head-on collision yet, and I still wear my seatbelt, and I'm glad there's an airbag. You know, you sort of get tired of giving the nice, rational response. That was wonderful. I love the way you did it. I also like what you said about, we do it for the population. We were back, remember that? Do you remember when we first rolled this thing out and we were talking about, should we make hospital employees get it? Should we make it a requirement of employment? And by the way, we did, and I'm glad we did. Yeah. But remember those first few days? It was like, this is the way we're going to get through this thing. Not necessarily that person A or person B isn't going to get COVID still, but that this is the way our community and the collective good is going to be advanced. Do you remember those first few days when we got that thing?
Yep. And I think that's the hard part about what we've seen over the last year and a half or 2 years with COVID, is that really we are, for better or for worse, used to thinking about ourselves as individuals or thinking about our nuclear families. And that's important because we're all important to our family members, our loved ones, those with whom we're connected. But what a pandemic and a big kind of health crisis really thinks about is a whole community, a whole population of people. And so when we think about vaccines, the aim of vaccines always was, how do we take care of this group of people? And how do we try to make sure that everybody does as best as we can together, rather than saying, hey, Hilden, you've got to do this. It doesn't matter what you say or think. Really, it's about framing, how do we support one another through this? It's the same thing with wearing a mask, that it's not about you don't feel well or you feel fine. It's about everybody else that you're spending your time with.
Yeah, and I know we're not talking about masks, but that brings up a good point. Long before COVID, if you went on the public train in Bangkok, Thailand, or in Tokyo, Japan, people would have masks on because the person that wasn't feeling well that day would wear a mask. It's more about the collective good, isn't it? Yeah. Before we get off of COVID, I want to bring up just maybe some kind of rapid-fire questions about the vaccine. People are worried about safety. Is it safe?
I think it is safe. We can never predict who's going to have what type of complication or what type of reaction. I know what we hear about and people are worried about is, gosh, I got the COVID vaccine and I felt terrible. What the vaccine is doing is giving us a test drive. Our bodies, when we're sick with a virus or an infection, we get a fever because if you turn the heat up, that virus can't reproduce. It doesn't like the temperature that hot. We get shaky because, again, it's like virus living in an earthquake. So all these are things that our body does to create an environment that's not hospitable to this infection growing. When we get a vaccine, especially a vaccine like the COVID vaccine that really turns on that immune response, your body's practicing for what it would do when you got sick. And that's why it happens. It's not the vaccine is making somebody sick, but is your body's practicing. Certainly, there are people who have had allergic reactions to a COVID vaccine, just like we see people who have allergic reactions to any number of other things out there. So there are people who the risk maybe isn't worth the benefit based on their own medical conditions. But in general, I believe they're safe.
Question two, they're made of mRNA. That's the genetic material. I don't want to put genetic material in my body. It's changing my DNA. True or false?
I don't know if I can give an easy true or false there, but I will say that the new vaccines, so the mRNA vaccines, which are things like the Pfizer and the Moderna COVID vaccine, are not changing your DNA. mRNA is something that is part of our bodies. It essentially is giving your body the instruction manual without your body having to write it itself. It's saying, hey, here's the map. Here's what you do. Now you don't have to figure it out on your own. I think the other good news in COVID vaccine is over the last couple of months, the Novavax vaccine was approved in the U.S. That is built in the traditional vaccine way. It is not quite as readily available everywhere, but it is available. So if you're interested in a vaccine that fits with all the vaccines you've been getting since you were a kid, talk to your clinic about that.
Thanks, Kate. We've been talking about the COVID-19 vaccines with Dr. Kate Hust, internal medicine physician and medical director of the Internal Medicine Clinic here at Hennepin Healthcare in downtown Minneapolis. When we come back, we're going to talk about some more vaccines, so stay with us.
You're listening to the Healthy Matters Podcast with Dr. David Hilden. Have a question or a comment for the doctor? Become a part of our show by reaching out to us at healthymatters@hcmed.org or give us a call at 612-873-TALK. That's 612-873-8255. And now let's get back to more healthy conversation.
And we're back talking to Dr. Kate Hust about vaccines. Influenza, Dr. Hust. We're back into the fall, at least when we're recording this episode, and we're back to the flu vaccine. What's the flu story for this season in your crystal ball?
The crystal ball.
Because the last few years have been pretty good, right?
Yeah. So it will be very interesting to see what happens this year. The last few years, we haven't had big flu seasons, largely because we've all been wearing masks.
And yeah, so we haven't come within a mile of each other.
Exactly.
No one can get sick.
Exactly. We haven't been around. We haven't kind of been in the milieu of people sharing their germs. We expect that we'll see more flu this year simply because we're all out and about a little bit more. The flu vaccine every year, regardless of COVID or anything else that's happening in the world, we base in the U.S. on what's happening in the Southern Hemisphere. They get winter before us. They get flu season before us. So we try to model what's happening here based on what's happening there, kind of use our best prediction about what's going to come. That's why we get a new flu shot every year, because we see which versions of the flu are common someplace else, try to design our flu vaccine to best protect against those viruses. What we've seen in the Southern Hemisphere is that the flu season has started a little bit early in places like Australia. So there's some concern that flu season will start a little bit sooner in the U.S. than it does normally. Usually we would see it probably December into winter. There's some thought that it could start as soon as Halloween.
In my experience, people who have not yet had the flu, and I've never had the flu in my life, at least I don't think I have, don't realize it hits you like a Mack truck. I've had patients tell me they can practically tell me the hour their flu hit. I was fine at breakfast, Doc, and at lunch, I was fatigued and coughing and I had a fever. So it comes on kind of rapidly and they're miserable. So once they've experienced that once, it's no trouble getting them the flu shot next year.
The nice thing about the flu shot is we have different options. We also kind of think about the flu shot as people age and their risk changes. So individuals who are older, 65 and above, the risk of them having a serious illness from flu is much different than it is for somebody who is 18, 20, 40. And so individuals who are 65 plus actually get a slightly different version of the flu shot than the rest of us, something that has an additional strain and a little bit more potency to help just give that little bit of extra protection. So it's important to make sure, especially if you're 65 plus, that you are getting that correct flu shot for your age.
That's a great bit of advice. I'm glad you mentioned that. So summarize flu vaccines for us, Kate, if you will, for the people in the back. Who should get it? When should you get it?
So everybody can get the flu shot. We'd recommend it really starting from infancy and above. If you're 65 plus, you should make sure you're getting an specially designated flu shot that has a little bit better potency to provide extra protection. The flu shot usually becomes available sometime in September, and the flu vaccine season really will run through February, sometimes later into the winter. Oftentimes, it's okay to wait, I would say, into October, November, because we expect peak flu season to come December and after. And there may be a little bit of protection that wanes over time if you get it first thing in September. But also, it's a personal risk-benefit thing. If you have big family activities in the fall, get that flu shot before you're going somewhere where you might be exposed.
Yeah, those are good tips. I've had a lot of people actually say, I'm going to wait till mid-October to get it. And I go for it. Whenever you want to do it, but just do it. In September, October, and that's your time frame. But even if you didn't get it then, and for some reason, get it in November. Get it whenever you can.
Exactly.
But make sure that you get it. So let's shift to, okay, can I tell you a story, Kate? In my clinic last week, I had a guy that I put three shots in his arms. Or I'll be honest, I didn't put the shots in his arms. One of the skilled nurses gave him three shots. But I ordered three shots, and two of them were the ones we've talked about. He got his bivalent COVID vaccine, and he got his flu shot. He also got the shingle shot. And so let's talk briefly about that one, because that one is one that people, they ask a lot about, but also shingles is relatively common, but this isn't usually one of the life-threatening things, but it's so common, and people do ask about this one a lot. Who should get the shingle shot and why?
So the shingles virus, for people who don't really know or aren't sure what shingles is that when you're little and you have the chickenpox virus goes to sleep in one of the nerves in your spine.
I tell people that and they go, ew.
Yeah. And later, in a period of stress in your life, it might wake back up and it gives you a painful rash that goes just in one little line around your body. It looks like a belt on just one side of the body, but it can happen anywhere. It can be real painful, and folks sometimes have that nerve kind of terrible pain for months, if not longer, after their rash. The shingles vaccine can help prevent against shingles, but what it's actually really good at is decreasing the risk for what we call postherpetic neuralgia, or that pain that comes after getting shingles. 3 or 4 years ago now, we have a new shingles vaccine called Shingrix. It's two doses.
And it's the one to get.
It is better than the prior version at preventing both shingles and those long-term side effects. So if you were vaccinated for shingles in the past, it's worth talking to your doc and see if you should do it again. But the new Shingrix vaccine is indicated for anybody 50 years of age and older, and it's a series of two vaccines. The first one, whenever you get it, the second one at least 2 months after. You don't have to start over if you waited 6 months or a year. You just get that second shot when you can.
I have seen so many people with postherpetic neuralgia, and you just don't want to get it. That is the number one reason. I'm glad you said it that way, is that you really don't want to get that pain, which can go on for months or even longer, even lifelong in a small subset of people. So that's the shingles shot, otherwise known as Zoster. The vaccine is the Shingrix vaccine. It's a two-shot series. Second one's 2 months after the first. Everybody over age 50 should be getting that one. Let's move to briefly pneumonia. Pneumonia is huge. And we don't talk about pneumonia much. People aren't like deathly afraid of pneumonia. You don't hear people coming in saying, oh my goodness, I might get pneumonia. And yet, tens of thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people get pneumonia every year, and there are very effective vaccines. Can we talk about that one?
Yeah, of course. And this is something that has changed very recently. We've had for several years a vaccine we call Pneumovax, or pneumococcal 23 valent, that is designed to prevent against 23 strains of the infection that caused pneumonia. We then later had another one called Prevnar, or PCV13, and many individuals received both in a certain sequence, depending on which one you got first. We now have a couple new versions that are going to replace those, that if you've had both of those other two pneumonia vaccines, you don't need another one. If you've had only one, you might need another one. But these are newer versions that are, again, going to help prevent against the big pneumonia that puts people in the hospital. It, again, may not prevent all pneumonia, but it's designed to prevent the big pneumonia that puts you in the hospital with a breathing tube there for weeks and getting real sick.
So to cap this section off, Kate, who should get the pneumonia shot?
So if you're ages 65 and above, you should make sure you have all of your pneumonia vaccines updated. If you're younger than age 65 and have other chronic health conditions, talk to your physician or your clinical team, and they'll help make sure you have the right vaccines.
Great tips. Okay, now let's go to something that's in the headlines a lot, monkeypox. Should we be worried about that? And what's the deal with that vaccine?
So we've been lucky that monkeypox has not created COVID round two as far as the pandemic, and the numbers in most cases are tapering off. There is a vaccine that's available for particular groups of people who are at increased risk to contract monkeypox, or for people who have been exposed to someone with monkeypox. So it is available. It is not something that everyone needs to get. If you have concerns about your risk to contract monkeypox or that you may have been exposed, talk to your healthcare provider and they'll help connect you to a vaccine if you need it.
Perfect. That wraps that one up nicely. Now, before we go, let's do some rapid fire questions about vaccines in general. Ready?
Ready.
Can you get autism from the measles vaccine?
No.
One down. Question number two, can you get multiple vaccines on the same day?
Yes, you can get many vaccines on one day. There are a few instances of vaccines that we call live vaccines that are made in a slightly different way that you can't always mix, but it is safe to get multiple vaccines at one time, and your healthcare team will make sure you're getting the right combination.
Next question. What if I had an allergy or I have allergies to other things? Can I get most vaccines?
Most individuals who have allergies to any number of things can safely get almost all of our vaccines. If you've had particular allergies or reactions with vaccines in the past, it's always good to talk to your clinician about that. And they can talk about how those things might cross-react and if you could have a reaction to the new vaccine.
Last question. Are you getting rich from all these vaccines, doctor?
I sure am not.
Me neither. Well, that about wraps that up. We have been talking with Dr. Kate Hust, internal medicine physician here at Hennepin Healthcare with me in downtown Minneapolis. She is also the medical director of the internal medicine clinic at our downtown clinic and specialty center. Dr. Hust had a great deal to do with the early rollout of our clinical cares to people in 2020 during COVID-19. And I know she wouldn't say that, but I do want to say it. To set up clinics to test people, to help set up clinics to get people vaccinated, to get information out to our diverse patient population, Dr. Hust was instrumental in getting a whole new clinical system set up. So I just want to throw that out there. And thank you so much for that, Kate.
Always happy to help answer questions and help people feel better.
Thanks for that. And also, thanks for doing this podcast and getting some solid information out about vaccines.
Glad to be here.
And I want to thank you, listeners, for joining us on this episode. We've learned a lot about vaccines today. I hope you'll tune into our next episode when we will be talking about breast cancer prevention and treatments with a surgeon who specializes in breast cancer, all in honor of Breast Cancer Awareness Month. It's going to be a great episode, so please join us. And in the meantime, be healthy and be well.
Thanks for listening to the Healthy Matters Podcast with Dr. David Hilden. To keep up to date with the latest in healthcare and your health, subscribe to this podcast wherever you get your podcasts. For more information on Healthy Matters or to browse the archive, visit our website at healthymatters.org. And if you have a question or comment for the doctor, email us at healthymatters@hcmed.org or give us a call at 612-873-TALK. To catch all the latest from Dr. Hilden and the Healthy Matters Podcast, follow us on Twitter at Dr. David Hilden. Finally, if you enjoyed this podcast and would like to support us, please leave us a review and share the Healthy Matters Podcast with your friends and family. The Healthy Matters Podcast is made possible by Hennepin Healthcare in Minneapolis, Minnesota, and engineered by John Lucas at Highball. Executive producers are Jonathan Comito and Christine Hill. Please remember, we can only give general medical advice during this program, and every case is unique. We urge you to consult with your personal physician if you have more serious or pressing health concerns. Until next time, be healthy and be well.